By the way, they are bumping next door. Who do you think is recording over there? They're just fucking kicking it.
I don't know.
Natasha Bedingfield? They are bumping.
Pound Town Podcast. Will Burge, Brian Kenny. Clock is in the building. Nick's here again. We can't get rid of the fucking guy. He just keeps showing up. We get a new office. He's like a cockroach. He just keeps fucking showing up. We are still in the new office. We have not left yet. So this officially is our longest tenured office, I think.
I mean, rightfully so. Yeah. We sort of have a ping pong table. We're like two metal brackets away from having a ping pong table. So life is good.
Oh, it just texted me a verification code. God damn it.
So that means it messed up the code?
No, it didn't mess up the thing, but I can't get into my fucking tweets, which is where I had a whole bunch of shit saved up for. All right, fuck it. This is how we're going.
You know your phone?
It's up there.
Recording. It's recording. It's a really good point. I probably should have just picked up on that, but I did not. All right.
No big deal. Whatever. We got a bunch to talk about today. By the way, we're presented by Barstool Sports. We are powered by Live Mixtapes. We are next door to Live Mixtapes. They are the loud neighbors. That's what they are. They're the loud neighbors who party too much, but they let us hit it here and there. So we're cool with it. You know what I mean?
Better sound.
We'll take it. Though.
Yes, exactly. We're going to talk about the Baker trade, obviously. That's going to lead us into another conversation that I threw out on Twitter today, which I thought was really interesting, of the worst. We're going to do a draft tonight. We'll do a draft of the worst former Browns jerseys to own. So we'll do that as well. We'll talk to some Deshaun Watson. By the way, someone got called up for the Guardies.
I saw that.
Nolan Jones, right?
It's about fucking time. Outfielder. We've been hearing about Nolan Jones for like 4 years.
Now, here's the funniest part, though. I love that they said outfielder Nolan Jones. That motherfucker's a third baseman that they just sent into the outfield this season. That is not an outfielder, but I guess he's going to play outfield.
Interesting.
Yeah, so hopefully he strikes out a shit ton, but he also has some pop in his bat, which is something they need. So interesting to see how that goes. They have the night off tonight, which they fucking need. That was a god-awful series against Detroit.
Oh, it was embarrassing. So fucking bad. And like you see, Bieber gets shelled. Nobody hits. The whole bullpen got shelled, including like Class A gave up a home run. It was front to back. Nobody actually did well throughout that series, especially that last game.
It was weird, too, because they had like no hustle. I mean, it's very easy to say probably they were tired because they're probably tired. I mean, they played a shit ton of doubleheaders. They had some really high-energy games against the Twins, and they play the Yankees. And while the Yankees kind of kicked their ass a little bit, the Yankees are that fucking good. Like, you can play high energy and still get your ass kicked by the Yankees. They just looked dead in that series against Detroit. I think that was a combination of a team being tired and maybe a little bit of reading the press clippings where they were like, Detroit's not that great. We should be able to go in here and win. And it's still a fucking Major League Baseball team. They're still going to whoop on you if you don't bring it.
There's only one player out of that series that needs to really answer for himself, and that's Miles Straw.
Yes.
And, like, I get that, yeah, Miles Straw is ultra cold at the fucking plate right now. That's fine. I think he will certainly rebound at some point. I don't think you can send him down, especially after giving him a five-year contract.
No.
He is somebody that you need. But, like, on the 4th of July, him going into second, standing up, refusing to slide, and then getting tagged out at home, refusing to slide, is like, motherfucker, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're supposed to be athletic. That's like part of what you do, right?
Right now, you're not hitting. So all you do is defense and run the bases. Yeah. So once you finally do get on the fucking base path, you better ball out. And he just, like, what are you thinking? What makes you think that you can just not slide? Why aren't you sliding? It even prevents injuries.
It's very odd. Very, very odd. And it doesn't seem like he's like a bad attitude guy. So you don't. You know, I don't know.
No, it's like, what are you disgruntled about? You are hitting 195 and you're still in the lineup every day. Shut the fuck up and do what you're supposed to do.
Very true. And I loved that signing when it happened. You know,
same.
It was, you know, a little bit of, I felt like if he pans out, they got a crazy deal on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if he doesn't, he didn't spend a shit ton of money, I guess, but he had all the makings of a guy who could be every day in your lineup. You know, bats 250 to 270. On an off year, could get hotter than that on a better year, and then great A+ defense is what you thought you were getting out of it. I mean, you got the defense
and speed on the base path,
which they don't have a ton of.
You don't think so?
Well, I guess this year they do. Yeah, in the past couple of years they have not, but yeah,
no.
With Kwan, Jimenez is pretty fast.
I mean, Rosario is fast as shit.
Yeah, you do get some speed out of the base path. I'll shut the fuck up. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we don't need to spend too much time on it, but they got to start winning some fucking. They need the All-Star break more than almost any team in baseball.
Yes, absolutely.
We're underdogs against the Royals tomorrow.
That's
and
wild.
They're 21 games under 500. I just checked before we got here.
That's crazy. Wild.
It's Royals like -115.
Who's the starter tomorrow?
Savali. and they're pitching Brady Singer.
And they're in Kansas City.
Young. They're in Kansas City, which may be a part of it, but I mean.
Clock.
Who does Kansas City have besides
Ben Attendee? I'd hammer that.
Squad riding this thing?
I'd hammer that.
I guess. Let's throw a hundred on it.
I don't need it. It's not a deal, I guess.
I don't even know. Who does Kansas City have? Whit Merrifield and Ben Attendee, and that's it?
That's all.
Pretty much.
They traded Santana.
They did?
Yeah.
To who?
A couple weeks ago. I don't remember. But I know they traded him.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. They're bad, though. It's a bad baseball team. That's pretty crazy.
Whit Merrifield's a hell of a player.
He's been on the trade block, it seems like, for 4 years. Everyone's talking about getting
him. Everybody talks about it, but.
He bats like 330.
They've got cash behind him. What was that guy who was our minority owner at one point who ended up buying them? I can't remember his name for the life of me. It's
literally the shares they just took out of escrow that gave to Blitzer. What the fuck is his name? Whatever. That asshole we thought was going to end up being the majority owner here, and he didn't want to wait around long enough.
I think he is from Kansas City, though, right? Or am I wrong about that?
I don't know. Fuck him and fuck Kansas City. Fuck everybody. How about that? Mm-hmm. Don't care about either of them. Baker got traded. Everybody wanted Baker to get traded. It was a national crisis. And, you know, it was like the assassination or the murder, finally, of Osama bin Laden. It was like, finally, they got rid of Baker Mayfield. They got him out of Cleveland for a conditional fourth round pick, depending on how you look at it. If he plays, I think it's 77% of the snaps or something like that. They get a fourth round pick. They're going to give him every shot to be the starter down in Carolina. Good God, he better beat out Sam Darnold, because he's definitely a better quarterback than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I saw a really funny clip on Twitter today of some guy who was pretending to be Robbie Anderson talking shit to Baker Mayfield. Like, what do you think you're going to come in here? We already know how to lose. You think you throw more picks than my man Sam Darnold? but I don't know, Brian, your thoughts on, they finally got him out of here. The money gets split basically down the middle. Baker's going to take a pay cut. And he was willing to go down to $5 million to play for anybody. All pretty interesting, kind of what we thought, but I think that was the big nugget that I took out of it. I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
He was willing to play for $5 million bucks if somebody traded for him.
Baker is a guy that's going to bet on himself for sure. Yeah. Like I didn't think that he'd like let the money go. I am with you on that. I'm surprised, but like I've seen a lot of hate and people laughing at like, oh, he got, look at this, where's the number one overall pick? You know, got traded for a fifth rounder. It's like, we just got Amari Cooper for a fifth rounder. Calais Campbell a couple years ago went for a fifth
circumstance
rounder.
Circumstance matters in the situation.
All the time. This is where the leverage lies. And I am personally happy for Baker Mayfield. I think it is the second best situation he could have walked into other than Seattle, just because their weapons are a little bit better. But they have revamped their offensive line. They just took that kid out of NC State to play offensive line. They've got a couple pieces. He's being reunited with Austin Corbett, who they signed this offseason.
And Hollywood.
Hollywood's there, too.
Yep.
And then, I mean, he's got a dump-off option as long as Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy.
Which has been a huge question mark the last couple
of huge years. Question mark.
I can tell you I'm not drafting him in fantasy. I don't care what
I took him number one overall last year.
I took him one last year, too. First time ever, I gave him a shot. And
so last podcast, I believe, which, by the way, if you listen to it, you didn't even hear the whole thing because it was all fucked up.
We got weird, too.
It was such a good one. We got real weird. I might actually just, because I didn't have the audio in here to pull it back off and reload it because this stuff was here at the office. I think I'm going to reload it onto this new laptop because my MacBook took a shit. That's what happened. And I descended off. The fucking touch bar went. It's like $1,200 to repair. I descended some sketchy guy down to Florida for, he's going to fix it for $200. I'm never going to see the fucking thing again. All right. So everything I had on there, it's chalked up. But either way, the last podcast, I said I'd be, you know, I wish him the best. I'm rooting for him. Completely 180. Fuck him. He's in Carolina. If they play him week one, he can just suck my dick. How about that? I don't want anything to do with Baker Mayfield again. Maybe after week one, if we beat Carolina and break that fucking streak of home of opener losses, then yes, maybe then I'll be like, okay, I wish him well. He can do whatever he wants in the NFC. As of right now, it is fuck Baker Mayfield. Not really for anything that happened here. I mean, sure, for things that happened here too, but fuck him because we got to face him week one. Fuck him. That's what I say.
I'm happy it's over with. We've been waiting for this for a long time to fucking get this trade off and stuff. But I did see a tweet today. And of course, we got to go backwards a little bit and talk more about the situation. They said, if we never got Deshaun Watson, would Baker still be our quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think so, too. But
I think so, too. I don't think they would have. He wouldn't have a deal, though.
He'd
be playing for his deal.
And I'll tell you what, it'd be contentious right now. Going into camp, it wouldn't be like he would just show up and be like, hey, man, I'm betting on myself again this year. He would have been like, I injured myself. I put my body on the line last year for the team. I wanted a little bit of love from the other side. He might have showed up to camp late. I mean, it would have been contentious mm-hmm. one way or the other. But he would have got a year for sure. I mean, what mm-hmm. the fuck else? Jimmy G? I don't know. I never bought that.
No, we would have rode with him for sure. I just would have been tweaking about the season, I guess, with him.
I don't, you know, I think I could have convinced myself to be optimistic. Like, I would have, by this point, I'd have been like, you know what? When he was healthy, he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, the normal, the good side and stuff like that. Yeah. That would have came about.
I mean, I convinced myself we might be decent with Brandon fucking Whedon. So, I mean, I literally did that. So,
they were top 10 in passing yards that year. Just saying.
How many interceptions did he have?
He threw a lot of interceptions. They were top 10 in yards.
And the defense was so bad that he just got put right back on the field every single
time. They were a horrific team. There was a lot of garbage time. Josh Gordon was just putting up ridiculous numbers when it didn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad it's over too, but I didn't really feel like you were like it needed to end. I don't know. Like it was cool that it's over. That's great. We don't have to fucking hear anybody talk about it. I'm so glad those cocksucker and fucking Sooners fans are out of our faces now for a while.
Yeah. The Baker Bros, all them guys. Yep.
Dude, on Twitter, the Baker Bros, whatever. I get it. The fan base was divided on the fact that some people love Baker. Some people never thought he was going to be that good and whatever. But the random Sooner people became fans because like, why aren't you out rooting for Kyler Murray? Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I know why you're not out rooting for Kyler Murray, but like, why the fuck aren't you rooting for Kyler? Leave us alone. You know what I mean? Like, why does every time you send a tweet out about Baker Mayfield that's even slightly negative, it's just Sooner fans all in your fucking mentions?
Yeah, it's the fucking algorithm of the Twitter too. Like, it's so associated with us that it just somehow comes, like, there's new accounts, new tweets, like, every day.
And I'm sure they stick up for Kyler Murray, but like, imagine if the Baker Mayfield qualities that we all love, because we all did very much like, especially, you know, after his rookie year, after that third year, we loved Baker Mayfield because he produced on the field. But on top of that, he had that swagger. He had that off-field confidence. He was kind of hilarious at times. Imagine if he did succeed a bunch.
Yeah.
That's what Oklahoma has.
Yeah.
Oklahoma got that.
Yeah.
Oklahoma still comes at us too because he did plant the flag at Ohio State. Like right. that's a big thing about it too, is they think we're still hurt about
he
that.
Didn't plant the flag.
That made me want him.
It was symbolic planting.
I got to be honest. That did make me want him too. I didn't like him to that point. I was like, fuck.
He was a badass. Sorry.
What percentage of the people who really hate Baker in this town hated him all along or wanted to hate him because of that though?
No, I think they just ride that narrative.
Ohio State, man. Ohio State fans are not normal people.
And I also think that there's a portion that maybe got won over for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
but we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, yeah, man, that was, I mean, no one could deny that when he got it put in his rookie year, a Jets game forward was some of the most fun being a Browns fan has ever.
Unlocked the fridges. That was a great night.
That was literally one of the most fun nights ever. Yeah. And just think about how like minuscule and meaningless that fucking win actually was in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. But I mean, it was so much fun. So I think there was always those people, those rabid Ohio State fans that were like waiting for the shoe to drop, waiting for him to fuck up, waiting for him to say the wrong thing. And they got plenty of it. I mean, they got plenty of Clock. Do you have those, pull up those clips from The Athletic today? Jason Lloyd wrote a piece. The other shoe to drop also could have been taken in the locker room, because I thought it was really interesting. Read that that one there about the fancy stuff. Go ahead.
All right, so let's see. Let's start with, there was a lack of trust on both sides. So Mayfield was annoyed Stefanski missed a meeting the day after the Browns got torched by the Patriots.
And they got fucking torched.
Torched. That was a big game too. That was a big game.
Yep.
They thought the play caller should attend every session. Stefanski was absent because he was meeting with Myles Garrett, who had comments about the coaching staff after the game.
He was bitching because there was no halftime adjustments and all
that. Right. So in one of those careful what you wish for moments, Stefanski never missed another meeting and privately shined a glaring spotlight on the quarterback during film sessions.
Brian, I know you're not I don't think you're a Stefanski hater, but you're also not the biggest Stefanski guy either.
I'm not.
Do you take any fault in what Stefanski did in that situation? Is there any fault to go around?
I mean, him missing practice or meetings. No, like I that's fine. I get that. But
you're the head coach, you have a lot to do.
Yes.
A lot of different.
Yes. But there were absolutely times during the season where it's like, okay, you're in the Packers game. Baker's not on right now. Baker's clearly struggling. Nick Chubb is destroying everything. Why are you not running the offense through him? That Chiefs game in the playoffs, it's like, okay, the run game may not be working with Chubb, but you have Kareem Hunt, who's a very different running style.
Yeah.
Why are you not hammering it home with him? I realize it kind of does hurt the Baker argument when it's like, okay, why are you not relying more on the run game? But like, that's the team's identity. Even as Deshaun Watson comes in, I'm still going to be sitting there going, run the fucking football.
Right, and they went away from that.
Yes, you
know, they did.
Which made, that's the questions I have for Stefanski, what he's going to be on this year, you know?
I think he gets it too much in his head where people are like, oh, they know we're going to run the ball, so I'm going to trick them and not run the ball.
I don't think it's always in their head, but I think they're going up against defensive alignments that are
set up. You have to.
Yeah, you have to be able to make play the run against us to loosen it up for the run. But at some point, like Brian, you're saying, if the quarterback can't make the pass, you got to figure out another way to get it done. You know what I mean? And that does fall on the head coach. I mean, what kind of pisses me off about that and what I want to get to with it was, I think it's going to really fuel the conspiracy theorist of like, you know, those people out there who are like, he was setting Baker up to fail, showing, look at what the quarterback can't do. This is why we need a new quarterback.
Especially that Steelers game.
No fucking head coach in their right mind would ever do that. Especially not with Jimmy Haslam as your fucking boss. That crazy hillbilly. He's going to fire your ass. He fired us at halftime. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
No, but he did dig his heels in at different times, and it was clear that it's like, this is the game plan. We're going to run the game plan. When it's like, you need to be the fucking adult in the room and say, hey, my quarterback's not on right now. I'm going to do whatever I can to win with what I do have. My best foot forward is the run game. He refuses to get Nick Chubb more involved in the passing game. And maybe it's not having him run real downfield kind of routes, but you really don't see any swing passes to Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. You don't see him too much involved in the screen game. And it becomes apparent to the defenses. And when Nick Chubb's getting bottled up, it's like, okay, well, they know exactly what you're going to fucking do when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this was a growth experience for all involved. That would be awesome. You know, I think that's like, Baker Mayfield realizes, hey, man, I have some soul searching to do. I'm going to Carolina. I'm going to do that. Kevin Stefanski has some soul searching to do and go, hey, man, really wasn't calling plays the best way I could, utilizing the talent the best way I could. But realistically, these are all fucking egomaniacs. That's how you get to this level. I don't know if anybody in the situation, besides maybe an Andrew Berry, who seems pretty damn humble, but even he probably has a gigantic ego. You don't get there without that. I don't think anybody learned anything out of this. I think everybody's just going to go do exactly what they've been doing, which could fuck everybody.
I think the second Deshaun Watson hits the field, Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat. I think if he doesn't actually make adjustments and change his offense, because that's what Baker supposedly was complaining about, is that he wasn't allowed to improvise. That's all Deshaun Watson fucking does.
Yeah, there's no more excuses for that.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess Stefanski could say, well, I didn't trust Baker to improvise. I do trust Deshaun to improvise. Very well, that could be the case, but maybe. It remains to be seen, right? I
mean, maybe. He's supposed to be a system guy. It's supposed to be timing and routes over talent. That's what it's always supposed to be. That's what everybody's been saying. And now you've got talent, man. So what are you going to do? I'm very curious. That's the biggest storyline for me other than Deshaun.
It's making me think, you know?
Yeah.
And that hurts his head. Don't you make him. speaking of Deshaun Watson, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it was an interesting note today. Just seeing Anderson put out there in what is quite obviously a PR battle now between the prosecution and the defense and the Deshaun Watson civil trials, that one of the accusers' adult sons said that originally the mom was very complimentary of the session with Deshaun Watson. Then once all the negative news came out, she switched her tone of voice and he insinuated that she would reward him for his silence. The NFL did not use that accuser in their case what's her name? Sue Robinson? Something like that,
Susan,
right?
Something.
I've read it a million times. I don't know why I can't think of it right now. They did not use in there. They also did not, which we've heard before, have any. They didn't say there was any violence or forcefulness or coercion, which, you know, all of this is starting to feel like, and a lot of it's just PR, but it is all starting to feel like, especially because of what Florio has been writing, and even Florio floating the idea that they could have Deshaun Watson pay back all the money he made last year. That converts into some type of suspension that they, you know, tack on retroactively. It's looking more and more like Deshaun Watson isn't going to get a really lengthy suspension, because I got to say, the number one thing the NFL doesn't want right now is for him to get some kind of suspension that him and the NFLPA don't want, which we've heard that they've offered 12 games and they balked at that and said no. And then he appeals and it goes to court, like not NFL appeals. I'm talking like actual court appeals.
Like Supreme Court.
Yeah. And that motherfucker's playing week one. Yeah. And this is the storyline.
And that's then it comes out.
The last thing the NFL wants. They want to figure out where that sweet spot is, right in the middle. That nice little soft landing spot where Roger Goodell's puffy pink face doesn't look so terrible in the fucking headlines. Because we all remember what happened with Ray Rice. That was there was a ton of fallout in 2014 from it. I don't know if I agree with Mike Florio that the House of Cards almost came tumbling down. I don't remember that.
No.
I'm not even close. But they were on fire for quite some time for the Ray Rice thing, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys got a take on it. I just wanted to kind of talk about it and say, I think we're still in the exact same spot. We're just getting, you know, both sides are picking nuggets to hand out to the public to try to win the PR battle right now.
So was that lady one of the people who settled?
Yes.
It was, correct? Yes. So do you think she just didn't give her son the money? And now he's coming out saying, like, well, she promised me money if I was quiet. My mom didn't fucking give me any money.
Well, no, because this was actually pulled from the deposition.
Oh, okay.
The original deposition. But I bet you she's trying to get that money back. She sent his ass a Cash App request.
Yeah.
I didn't do that much. Yeah. She wants that hush money back. You know, and this is the thing that sucks is, like, there are quite obviously at least a few like that woman in the however many it is now, 22, 24, 26, whatever it is, which... You know, there's people out there that just go, aha, see, it's all a cash grab. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's confirmation bias.
That's like, really bad thing to say if it ends up not being.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also weird to see Florio kind of say that he might be innocent completely, because Florio wanted him in jail. He wanted Miles in jail when he hit fucking Mason Rudolph.
Salt.
And now he's just, you know, I didn't expect to see Florio out of all people to be like, he might get zero games.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. The whole thing is fucking janky. It sucks. I wish it, that's the one I wish would end. The Baker one didn't even really bother me.
I don't think, like, the Baker thing's not going to end either.
No.
Especially with week one coming
up. It's only going to get worse.
It's just building.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Wait till he speaks at training camp.
Yeah.
You know, he might
have his first press conference is going to be massive down there.
We are going to have podcast fucking fodder for days.
Yeah.
This dude's going to go down there. He's going to pull his dick out and dump it right on the fucking podium and start shitting on everybody. It'll be very passive aggressive the way that Baker really is. Or maybe he'll say one thing that's a little stern. But, you know, if you're Carolina, they had to have told him, like, hey, bite your tongue for now. Right. We're going to give you a shot at the starting job. We just don't want to be waiting through fucking a war of words between you.
I think he's not going to shut up. He's going to say some wild shit all the way up until week one.
What do you think he's going to say if he does beat us week one? But even if it's Baker versus Brissett and Baker goes for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, I think he's going to talk so much shit. Like, oh, I got my revenge. You didn't play Watson, the guy that was replacing you, so I don't think you actually got your revenge.
I mean, but what else does he have to go off, right? I mean, this is a guy who ran over to the sidelines and dumped out his...
That was
metaphorical.
Love that at the time.
Yeah,
too.
He tossed a ball to a former coach.
He's
fucking waiting for week one.
Yeah.
So I really hope that Browns locker room is waiting for week one.
But it was also a situation where Baker was held to such a harsh standard because everybody looked at the roster and said, this is a win now team. This is a Super Bowl contention team. So everybody but the quarterback's going to be there. So I do kind of understand if he does beat them and is like, well, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Look what I just did, bitch.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get why he would say that. Doesn't mean
I hope
correct.
He has personal growth enough from this whole situation. You know, again, I'm rooting for the guy, so I hope that he grows and is not this fucking cancer in the locker room in Carolina that apparently he was in Cleveland.
Not one player wished him well.
No, the Nick Chubb just
Stefanski
quotation
didn't
mark
say anything
hilarious.
Either, did he?
Yeah. By the way, did you see that website picked up McNeil's quotation mark as like an actual quote from Nick?
Yeah, that was really fucking funny.
Yeah. God,
I saw your brother said he's going to buy a Baker Carolina jersey.
I got to tell you.
He named his dog Baker.
I know.
Too.
My brother's dog.
He's got to ride Baker.
And he said he's a
Panthers fan. People name their kid Baker in this city.
Yeah, but
oh, there's got to be so many in the past. Yeah, like, especially fine. 2 years ago.
It's
like,
a dumbass fucking name, too.
It is a stupid
fucking name. Dumb fucking name.
It's such a dumb fucking name. But here's the funny thing. My brother, who now is saying he's buying a Carolina jersey, it was like a month and a half ago he was saying that my dog's name isn't Baker, it's Baker.
No, yeah.
It was never Baker.
Yeah,
he
said
Baker.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a fucking, my brother's fucking opinion floats with the wind. But I will say this. The Carolina Panthers dark jerseys are fucking sick.
The black ones?
Those are so nice. Sick.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
They got great colors. The Browns,
Carolina blue always is great.
Mm-hmm. It just hurts me that the Browns have the worst colors in the NFL. Like,
they're so bad. So
there's no
bad.
Good jerseys that come out of it. Until we get like a third color, like give us an alternate. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm looking into this office behind it. Look at the wall; literally, is brown and orange. Like,
yeah,
it's brown and orange,
yeah.
And it's fucking hideous. But it's fine; it's our hideous, right? Like, you embrace it.
There's nothing else that's brown and orange. So I mean, anything that brown and orange is the Browns.
Yeah, that's true. So,
I'm not even somebody that particularly gives too much of a shit about like matching and coordination and my outfits looking great. I mean, fucking look at me, but Like
you were on stage looking like this.
Yeah,
you black. Went in front of people who paid.
I just keep black, baby.
You looked easy this bad in front of people who are going out for the evening trying to enjoy themselves, and you were the entertainment. This is what you look like.
Yeah, because my words are just that much better. That it makes up for it. I have redeeming qualities.
You're just wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway. But like, just, I still refuse to rock like a Browns hat because you look dumb as shit.
You can't wear it with anything else.
Brown and orange with anything else.
Yeah, you can't. You can only wear it to the Muni lot or to a bar or a game day.
That white Brownie the Elf hat he has is fucking fire.
Yeah, it's sweet.
That one's sweet. I can rock that
too. Yeah, but then you're still introducing like orange into whatever else you're wearing. And it typically.
I got orange shoes.
Yeah, so you gotta wear it with us. You gotta wear like a white shirt.
That's what I was rocking.
You gotta rock brown shit with brown shit.
I was wearing that I Love Brown shirt with the white hat and the orange shoes at the beach party.
Sick.
You didn't peep.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
You were too hammered.
You didn't peep. You didn't peep his shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I was always like, people were like, should they change the name and the colors? Like, obviously I don't really want them to. But I wouldn't have really been that mad if they had. You know what I mean? Nah. Like, just give us some sick ass colors. It sucks. Like, even the Ravens colors are sick. You know what I mean? Like, black, purple and black is a sick combination. Not enough that you really wear purple everywhere, but you can wear the black.
No,
side
the
of
purple
it.
Is sick. Their jerseys, the black and purple, like with the, I think it's the purple jerseys and they got the black pants. Or no. All black with the purple numbers. Yeah, those are.
I think the Raiders are the best in the NFL.
Yeah, those are fucking sick too.
Chargers. Chargers are great too. Those Potter blue, baby blue.
How many are really bad? Nice. I like the Raiders. Like, you can count them out. The Browns and the Steelers, terrible color combinations. Awful. Both of them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like the Seahawks, but it depends. They just got that neon, which is cool.
The Jaguars is terrible.
Yeah, Jaguars ain't too hot either.
They have some combinations that can be okay, but they're just like...
Washington. You got fucking teal involved. You look stupid.
Commanders, I guess. The mustard orange and...
Yeah, that's... I don't know, but...
I guess it's kind of the same as the Cavs, so we can't say that.
If you go old schoolish, they actually look all right.
That's a classic combination of colors right there. USC colors. Like,
yeah, it's true. There's a lot of big sports.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Tampa Bay is kind of poop. What is that, red and like
yellowish? Well, it's like
what's their helmet? It's like a
silver brown.
Yeah, like a
gray. Tom Brady brown. Looks good in anything though. So
I got to be honest, I'm almost colorblind, so I shouldn't even be in this conversation. I don't even
know what I'm talking about. You were sitting with the blank for a second.
Best color combination all time in sports history, hands down. It's not even close. Cleveland Infants.
Pink and blue. With the Cleveland, the Ravens thing made me think about when that one coach said Lamar Jackson can hide the ball so well because his hands are black.
Yeah.
And then he wore white sleeves the next game and ran for like 200 yards. That was one of the best comebacks ever.
I forgot about that.
They was
I like Lamar. He moment. Doesn't throw the ball all that well, but like he's
good. He's so talented. He's good.
I mean, I hate him because he's on the Ravens, but
I hate that he's in our division. Just like I hate Joe Burrow. Yeah, Joe Burrow's great.
Yeah, he's a likable kid too.
Joe Burrow, by the way, I don't know if you guys read I'm not gay, but the guys I bang. That gay guy said he had a Mormon head, and I never noticed him. He definitely has a Mormon head. He's got a very Mormon head.
Mormon head.
Yeah, think about like what do you think a Mormon looks like?
I'm sure he wasn't talking about.
I feel like Matt Ryan looks like a Mormon.
Yeah, I think Matt Ryan looks like a Mormon.
Matt Ryan
definitely looks like a Mormon.
Matt Ryan is
dead. Joe Burrow looks like a Philip Mormon. Rivers. 22-year-old Mormon who's going away to college not to BYU. That's what he looks like.
He finally got out of there.
But he goes into a party and you're like, that kid looks kind of fucking Mormon. You're like, oh, he's from Utah? It makes perfect sense.
It's like that meme of the dudes dancing at the party and the guy in the corner, they don't know I'm Mormon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what it is. Nice. I want to get into the draft here. Like, you want to do the jersey draft here? So
we can do the jersey draft.
All right. Baker is no longer a Cleveland Brown. There is a shit ton of Baker jerseys. There's fucking kids named Baker. There's dogs named Baker. There's Baker jerseys. So I threw out on Twitter earlier, what is the worst? How do I say it? What is the worst?
The worst Browns jersey.
I guess the worst investment.
Yeah, the worst former Browns
jersey. Yeah, it's got to be like an investment.
So here's how we're going to do it. We need to come up with a draft order. How should we do it? We'll do it by who shit last. Who's up? Who shipped most recently?
Who shit I shipped before I got here?
Like an hour ago?
Yeah, probably like an hour and a half ago.
You couldn't have. You were in the state.
Yeah, now probably around like 2.
Yeah, I shit mid-gym is like 9:30.
In the morning?
I shit like
4 times a day. I probably shit 4 times from the last time you shit.
Damn. All right, so it'll go Nick.
I should get the first 4 picks.
Brian, Clock. This will be the draft order, and then we will it'll be a snake draft. So you'll get 2 in a row.
Okay.
And then when it comes back, Nick, you'll get two in a row.
Cool.
Okay. So you start off worst jerseys to own. And this, you don't have to own these, by the way.
Yeah, just and ones you could own.
I'm going to do ones that I own. Cause yeah, I actually, that's fine. I made a list of all the jerseys that I've owned.
They might get taken, though.
How many do you have?
Yeah, I got a long list, too.
It's like 16, 17.
I've had a long list.
See, here's the difference, though, with them is they grew up in an era where, like, it was cool to party in jerseys. Like, yeah. That, we never...
That was the thing.
Even as a kid, I always, like, wanted a Browns jersey because it was my birthday in football season, so I would always get the new player like right at the beginning of the year.
Only
it was kind of like one. You said earlier how every time you get a jersey, they leave. Well, I did the same thing when I was younger, and I got a Phil Dawson jersey, and I was like, this guy's never going to fucking leave. It was amazing. The year he fucking left was the year I got it. I haven't been able to wear it since. I mean,
you
I guess
still
you
wear
can.
It. You get a lot of street cred for a Phil Dawson jersey.
But like, I was like, this guy's never going to leave. Then he goes to San Francisco. I'm like,
damn.
Funny story, and I know you've seen this. Maybe I even brought this up on the podcast before, but do you remember when Ryan Dalton did the bit where he said he was Phil Dawson and sat outside of CVS to give you autographs, and there's a line of people, and he was like talking shit to little kids, and like it was fucking hilarious. But huge social media, so people didn't really know what Phil Dawson looked like. You know what I mean? Very, very funny bit. All right, so you can draft however you want. Right. I leave this, you know how it is with this. I like you to take the rules and dissect them any way you'd like.
Cool.
So, Nick, you will go first. First pick in the worst former Browns jersey to own draft.
First pick's got to be Kellen Winslow Jr. I mean, you cannot wear that one around and get respected after all the shit he went through.
Why? What did he go through?
Is he still in jail?
That dude was raping grandmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandmas
everybody,
and homeless
people. Everybody. Yeah. So yeah, that's my number one overall.
He was the Kellen definition Winslow of hide your kids, hide your wife. That motherfucker would like went off the
It's like Rudy Bagels. That Rudy should wear his jersey because you gotta hide your grandmas, hide your moms, hide
that's
your sisters.
That's
hide
the guy with the video. He doesn't actually rape them, hopefully. No. But you know, I don't know. Looks all right, Kellen Winslow, that obviously should be the number one pick. You literally cannot wear that.
No. That's when you retired immediately.
Yeah. If somebody is wearing that, then they're trying to be funny and they're probably not a funny person.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a funny person. All right. My number one pick in the jerseys you cannot wear draft, Brandon Whedon. I didn't get a lot of those responses today, but I think it's because a lot of people just didn't. And it wasn't because people were like, oh, you could wear Brandon Whedon jersey. I just don't think many people bought it. So if you're one of the assholes who bought a Brandon Whedon jersey and that dude got caught under the flag before his very first start, you had to know
that's one of the best videos
things
ever.
Were going to go poorly. Shout out to Brandon Whedon. He gets all the love in July.
The oldest rookie ever.
Yeah, the oldest rookie ever. Doofy as fuck. He looks like the baby of two of my friends, Kevin Chacon and Mike McGow. Like if they had a kid, exactly what he looks like. It's got to be Brandon Whedon. Terrible jersey. Was never good. Nobody. I don't think there's a Brandon Whedon fan out there. Have you ever met one?
No. I like to pick when it happened, but then very quickly I was like,
yeah, we got an experienced guy. He's older. He's going to know the playbook.
Arm like fucking cannon arm. Let's do this. But like, no.
Cannon arm to the wrong team.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Brian.
Johnny Manziel. All
right. Classic.
Johnny Manziel. All you fucking idiots that bought those and hyped up Johnny Manziel like he was actually going to be something, you're fucking stupid.
Can I counterpoint here? Because I actually, so when I have a top five worst jerseys, former Browns coming out tomorrow. Manziel is on it.
Uh-huh.
But he's lower, a spot or two lower, whatever.
It's because he's going to threaten you again.
Well, not because of that. Fuck him. But because you can still wear, like, if you're going out to party, like, you're a younger kid and you're going to, like, a college party or you're, like, but you could still wear a Manziel jersey and, like, put a sparkler in your mouth. You can
take the picture with the...
Exactly. Do people know who he is, like, younger people now?
If you take a picture with the money, I got too much money in my hand.
There's still uses for a Manziel
jersey.
Young
people can't do that. It's like people 26, 27, and you're like, you're too old for that shit now. So fuck off.
I still think young kids can wear it. A learned young man could wear that.
I think that it's embarrassing. I think he was an embarrassment. I think that he is just the absolute worst.
One time, I was in an SUV that he was driving... while he sped around Cleveland looking for something that people could probably figure out what it was while people were smoking blunts in it. I was sitting in the back seat.
Nice.
Did he know it was you?
This is before.
Before he called you out.
That's why it was so weird. And he was like, come say something. I'm like, you know I don't live in Columbus, you fucking asshole. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, he was fucking... That dude literally lived like there was just no rules. Not only have I ever met anybody like that before.
That's insane.
His high, when they were moving into his place at the 9, he held the door held open with his Heisman. That's he like put the Heisman in front of the door and so pulled it open. To, like,
that's so wild. That's wild. Yeah. Some Lawrence Taylor kind of shit.
He's fucking, yeah. He's, that's fucking insane.
He had so much family money going into it that he's had the sense of entitlement his entire life.
Yeah.
His fucking family has a cockfighting rooster named after. The Manziel Gray is a breed of cockfighting rooster. That's the kind of stock he comes from. Lawlessness.
Lawlessness, yeah. I don't know. He's pretty awesome to hang out with.
I fucked it.
That's funny.
All right, Clock. You got the fourth pick. Last pick in the first round. We'll do four picks overall.
Four picks.
It'll get a little dicey later on. Yeah,
I figured we'd do four.
I'm going to go with Jeff Garcia.
All right. Wow. That's a good pick.
Did you own that one?
Wow.
That's incredible.
We used to have a joke that Jeff Garcia's mouthpiece actually had a penis on the inside. That was one of our jokes.
T.O. was calling him gay.
Yeah. But he was married to a fucking Playboy.
Carmella DeCesar.
Yeah. Playboy chick. Take me through the thought process there. How old were you when you got that Jeff?
You had to have been real young.
When did he come?
That had to have been like a birthday gift.
Like 9, 10 maybe.
Was that the Ruben Jones era?
Yes.
Yeah, I also had a Ruben Jones jersey. That's
Ruben Jones was badass.
Broke the 1,000-yard drought.
I better not hear that name.
No.
I don't think that's a bad jersey. No. Ruben Jones.
He probably averaged like 3.2 yards per carry, but he hit 1,000.
It's like Najee Harris. Just keep giving him the ball.
A lot of volume.
He'll hit it eventually.
Wow, you got in?
No, I'm just looking at my thing. I want to go through the replies, but go ahead. So, Jeff Garcia, why is Jeff Garcia one of the worst jerseys to have?
I mean, just another Browns quarterback that failed over the years, you know? I mean, we got him from San Francisco.
He had one decent year here, though. One year.
It was okay. Right? Yeah. I mean, I had high hopes for him as a young child because I was a big T.O. fan. I had a T.O. Jersey as well as a child. And when he came over, I was kind of hyped. You know?
He had one year here.
So Niners or Eagles?
Eagles.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, it's seven. Never mind. He did not have a decent year. 1,700 yards in fucking 11 games. Jesus Christ. Yeah, take it back.
Yeah, he was getting sacked a lot.
Yeah, he was.
That's like 150 yards a game.
What was our record that year? Probably 4-3.
He was 3-7
under him, so not very good, whatever it was. Yeah. All right, Jeff Garcia, last pick of the first round. Clock, you get the next pick again.
First pick of the second.
I'll do Trent Richardson.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. Yeah, how about that guy in the tweet reply saying he had three different color Trent Richardson jerseys?
I was so big on that dude, like Alabama running back. Man. And then you see the videos and the pictures of him literally a gap, two steps over, and he's just running into the back.
Until I saw those, I was still defending him. It was like, okay, well, the boxes are stacked.
Terrible.
11 touchdowns as a rookie was big, but no.
Yeah.
No, he's bad. He's just good old-fashioned bad.
Can you believe that they got a first-round pick for him trading away after he was bad already?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think that kind of takes away the badness of us and puts on the Colts.
Really embarrassing.
100%, yes. That was definitely an Ursae deal. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot we got a first-round pick for him.
That's what did crazy. He used to? There was something fucking Trent Richardson used to say that we used to make fun of all the time. And it was, he used to say it every single time he took. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to remember it at some point in this draft. It was really, really funny, though. It was like a crutch word. And you feel bad making fun of people, especially young kids who are obviously not that bright, when they have a crutch word when they're talking to the media. But man, he used it all the fucking time and he used to make people laugh. I can't remember what it was, whatever. But terrible, terrible jersey. If you bought that, it lasted you. Season?
It was a
season, right?
One season.
And a half.
It was one season.
Yeah, I got it for my birthday. I got surprised with the jersey and then opening day tickets against the Eagles. I still remember it to this day.
Remember that highlight tape of him when he got drafted and he had that one run versus, I want to say, Ole Miss, where he's breaking it off and a guy's catching him and he just stops on a fucking dime, lets the guy go past him, runs into the touchdown. I was like, this is the guy.
He was a bad motherfucker, man.
He was.
Look at this tweet from Jim Irsay after they traded for him. Building a monster for the best fans in the world.
There was the him getting worked out by the Browns, and I can't remember who the coach was holding the bag where he knocked him down. It's like, dude, this guy's going to be otherworldly.
I was a beat reporter at the time. I was super high on Trent Richardson.
Oh, God. How can he not be?
I thought he was going to be a fucking monster.
He's like the Carmelo Anthony in the NFL. He looks great when he's not playing against anybody, and then you put him against real people, and he can't fucking run.
Montario Hardesty was similar. I thought Montario Hardesty was going to be great right in that same
range. Fuck knows if Montario Hardesty was good or not. He never actually fucking played.
He didn't even have ACLs, right?
Yeah,
he had
no
ACLs in his knees. I'm pretty sure.
What is this? Is that a comment on being black? Like, he has an extra. He's like, they don't have ACLs. That's why they run faster. That's what it is. All right. Second pick in the second round. Brian, you're up.
Nick mentioned it in the comments. It's Barkevious Mingo.
Yep.
And it looks even worse now for almost Kellen Winslow-esque kind of reasons because he's diddling kids at fucking water parks.
Yep. That I was
forgot about that.
Yep. That was the worst jersey I've ever owned. That's well, why
he
I
was
like,
and he was bad.
He was sexting so with like bad. Some young girl too, right? Like,
well, there was a young boy at the water park.
That's oh, very, yeah, my. That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, it was his cousin's friend, and he's like cuddling up to him and getting real strange from what everything I read. And it's like, okay, well, that's the cherry on top of the him being awful at football. And it's just yeah, like was, I a six so overall bad. Pick. I like anybody that bought his jersey is just.
That was analytics. Damn, idiot.
Call me out. I bought that at like a Marshall's for like $60. It was like the printed on one. And yeah.
The stitching's all fucked up.
It wasn't even, yeah, it wasn't stitched. Yeah, it was just like an ironed on one. Can't wash it or else it'll fuck up.
All right. So you guys took a couple of ones, but I the next one I go with actually is Phil Taylor. Because
Phil Taylor from Baylor.
Yeah, Phil love Taylor. Phil Taylor from I Baylor. Love Phil. By the way, my son and Phil's stepson played on the same Little League team one year. Fucking awesome guy. Great guy. And I actually think he was better than people give him credit for, but he just wasn't good enough to be drafted where the fuck he was drafted. And he might have been the most boring human on the face of the earth.
I mean, he was late 20s to get picked. It was more the fact that they traded away that number six pick for Julio Jones.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to get to. That is the real reason it's so bad is what possibly could have been, even though Julio Jones probably wouldn't have been Julio Jones here in Cleveland.
No.
We can have that debate all until the sun comes up.
No shot.
But Phil Taylor, terrible jersey to wear. And I don't know, like every time I see one, because you see him from time to time. It just Taylor just doesn't look like a good name in the back of a jersey. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's like I don't know, like a Smith never really looks that good too, unless it's like Emmett Smith. You know what I mean?
Terrell Smith.
Yeah.
Although I will say I'll make that same. You said the Julio argument; he wouldn't be the same here. I'll make the same about Josh Allen all fucking day.
Oh, 100%.
All Josh fucking Allen. Day. Anybody who looks at that in hindsight and goes, "What fucking idiots for not taking Josh Allen?" You really think he would have stood multiple regimes and been the same guy? He's had Sean McDermott the whole time.
Yeah,
it's maybe. Very different.
Yeah.
And they would have not been as patient with him because he fucking sucked.
No, he was rough.
Terrible. Terrible.
Raw.
All right. Back to you, Nick. Last pick of the second round. You took the by far the best guy so far, Kellen Winslow. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, that's a good one.
The most overpaid receiver for, what, 40 yards he had on the Browns total?
One catch or two catches.
Two catches, like yeah.
Healthy scratch, Dwayne.
And we paid him like $9 million or some shit. So,
you really
yeah.
honestly can't hate on that, though, almost. That's almost like
a, it's like a Matt Flynn.
And he was even like trying to be the type Chase of guy Daniel. Who was like, he wouldn't even pretend like he was coming here to actually play.
I was excited for him because I was like, oh, yeah, we got a big guy. He did all right in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Nope. So, yeah, Dwayne Bowe's my pick.
Good pick. Good pick.
And then my next one's actually going to be one that was very probably unexpected. Nobody thought of it. A Nick Chubb number 31 jersey.
Because if you bought, change.
I don't know how many people knew before he changed his number, but yeah, he was number 31 his rookie year.
See, so, I think that's
so
awesome.
People
actually.
Are like, who the fuck is Chubb number 31? Well, like, oh, it was Nick Chubb before.
We put up a picture of Nick Chubb in the 31 jersey. I did specifically. And people said, like, two different people said, they're like, that's not Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Yeah, it is.
So, yeah. Nick Chubb number 31.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because then you just got to explain it. Like, no, he changed his number.
Best jerseys.
Well, I guess it depends on how you're looking at it. Like, I said, and somebody might pick him actually, but I would never put Gerard Warren on mine because the nickname now, people like, if you wore it, like big money Gerard Warren, that's a fucking awesome nickname. That's a cool jersey. Now it's like come full circle. And he was such a bad Brown. You know what I mean?
Oh, he was so bad. He was the third overall pick.
He was so awful.
He was terrible.
And that's that kind of adds to the fucking, I don't know, the cachet of it.
And then he was on that fucking Denver Broncos team who just took all of our bad defensive linemen. Ebenezer Ekubon and like,
wow.
Ebenezer Ekubon wasn't terrible, but he wasn't good.
No.
He wasn't terrible. He was a rotation.
What a name. I remember him.
Great name, by the way. RG3 is my next pick.
Ooh.
RG3, what was the quote that Hugh had about his workout? I felt the earth move. During his workout, or some fucking weird
because his knee gave out.
Yeah, some weird corny shit. RG3 and like
I always forget we had an RG3 era.
Right?
Yeah,
like it was so hidden in there.
Everybody did it.
It was so hidden.
Well, here's the thing, Nick. Trauma actually, the brain will heal itself by blanking out trauma. That's what happened.
I feel like Kaiser ended up just kind of overshadowing the RG3 era.
And I actually get why some people liked Kaiser because they're Notre Dame fans and they have no sense of good taste.
Nobody
likes
Kaiser.
But like RG3 was kind of a douchebag in fucking Washington. He had that one good year.
His rookie year, he was like the best fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, then he was injured and they brought him here. I don't know.
I had him and Peyton Manning his rookie year as my fantasy quarterbacks, and I just ran shit.
Yeah, that rookie year was legendary.
Okay, who's up next?
So here's where we get into the part where we interpret things for ourselves.
Yeah, no, you Brian's just went interpreting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anybody who gets a Browns jersey with their own fucking last name.
Wow.
I like that.
I
embarrassing.
I hate that.
That's the real fantasy football.
Wait. Clock, do you have a Browns jersey with your name on it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never had a jersey.
That's everybody name. Makes fun of the game of fantasy football because the name is so ridiculous. That's just kind of some controlled gambling. Real fantasy football is you getting a fucking jersey going, this is what my jersey would look like if I played for the Cleveland Browns. Fuck you. You're a goddamn weirdo.
My buddy growing up, Gary Pesta, got one. We used to shit on him relentlessly for that fucking thing.
I told you guys, I went to that Guardians game a couple weeks ago with like 20 of my friends in the bleachers, and I was talking shit. Like, I hate it when people just get their names on their jersey. My buddy behind me is like, I do that with every stadium I go to. He's like, I just got a Giants one with my name on it. I'm like, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah, you're a loser.
Like, I'm sorry, but.
You have to pay a bunch of money.
Dude, they're so expensive. Yeah. You got to go to like the team shop, or you got to go to, I guess you can order online, but no, this dude would go to the team shop, waste like two innings of them stitching it for him, and then get it and wear it the rest of the day.
That ain't it.
Clock, you're up two picks in a row, but this is the final pick of the third round, and then your first pick.
Right, so my third one is going to be Corey Coleman.
Good one. Had that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one. So you bought, let me get, because you were a little older here. You probably had Corey Coleman.
No, I didn't have this one. I just thought of it. I took a picture with him outside Barley House. So of course you did. That's what I have.
That team in those years loved Barley.
I love that pick too when it happened. Like I saw some sort of advanced analytics thing about like his explosion. Yeah. And like nobody's been this athletic since Odell Beckham. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, come in. Baylor was so hot at that time.
Yeah,
too.
They were the highest scoring team. I think they were.
He had 19 receiving touchdowns his last year in college.
Points a game.
Yeah, it was 3 years in a row. I believe
they were the highest scoring offense. I just saw that too. Yeah,
Ohio State was last year, and they were 3 years in a row back then. And he was a beast. He just zero work ethic, and he was out of the league like that.
Mm-hmm. Dude, on Hard Knocks, when he went and asked for his release, and was like kind of holding back tears, and like his voice when he asked for the release, I'm like, oh, this dude's a bitch. Good, get him out of town.
Yeah. All right, Corey Coleman, final pick of the third round.
First pick of the fourth.
Baker Mayfield.
Ooh, I was waiting to see who would do it. This is one I'm gonna actually play devil's advocate here, too, because there's some people who are going to be diehard about it. I think it's a shitty jersey to have now because people are going to argue with it at every bar you go to if you have
yeah.
that. They are going to.
Yeah.
That's just trying to cause controversy. Obviously, it gave us our first playoff win, a lot of good times, but good riddance.
Good riddance. See you, Bagel. All right, Brian, Bagel. Final pick of the terrible former Browns jersey draft.
I'm going to go to a very similar well. I am going to say anybody who, and we've seen them all in the dog pound, the person who gets the custom jersey that says something dog.
Oh, okay.
Like if your last name is Fitzpatrick, it says Fitz dog or like fucking Muni dog or something dumb like that.
That is terrible. That is worse than the own name jersey. Because the own name jersey is almost like your cousin, your aunt or uncle could get that for you. He's a big Browns fan. We'll get one with his name on the back of it. You know what I mean? If you get fucking Kenny Dog on the back of your fucking
those
jersey,
are,
you got that.
The people that
you
get are. That are like the 45-year-old guys who wear face paint to the game too. Like wide receiver gloves. They're in the dog wide receiver gloves.
And every single third down, they get up and turn around.
And try to pump up the crowd.
Sit the fuck down, you loser. I know when to get up.
They turn around and then they bang on the side too.
Quick fucking story. The guy wasn't wearing one of these jerseys, but when I used to go sit with my buddies in the dog pound, there was this guy that sat in front of us. He came alone to all these games. He came fucking alone. And then every single time anything happened, he'd turn around for high fives. He'd have his hand up and we'd all be high-fiving him, but he didn't do a standard high five. He would grab you at the fingers and squeeze, and it hurt. And he was a decently big guy. And he just keeps doing it every fucking time. And then third quarter rolls around, and I'm like, I got to say something. I can't just keep doing this. I hate this. And so he puts it up, and I'm like, listen, man, you need to pace out your high-five schedule.
Like
they just got 3 yards and you're wanting a high five. This is, no. And he got pissy about it. Really? It was hilarious.
He was on Molly. Probably.
He ended up getting, I want to say banned.
He's probably just trying to get over his social anxiety.
Good.
He went down to some fan of another team and like slammed the guy's head and then got banned.
Wait, what team?
It wasn't the Steelers. It was like a random team that you really wouldn't hate. It was like a fucking
Houston Texans
Chargers game.
In town.
like a Chargers DJ game. Yeah.
San Diego Chargers. Some fucking poor kid got a jersey from San Diego. Yeah. All right, custom dog jerseys. So I was actually going to that same one. I was saving this for my last pick, but it's the fucking COVID-19 jersey.
And my buddy that's a really good one.
The COVID-19 jersey because, like, yeah, well, it'll always be around. It's not funny.
Not funny.
It really wasn't funny in the beginning. It's definitely not going to be funny this season. Last season was the most you were going to get out of it. And now they're everywhere. Now you see them like, I've probably seen 7 or 8 different people with COVID-19.
I saw them in the Muni lot hella last year.
Yeah, it's fucking corny. Sorry, Dave, I love you, but it's fucking corny. You're my last pick for the fucking worst form. We've just completely veered off of former Browns, but I like this anyway. All right, Nick, final pick in the draft. Let's make it a good one.
Greg Little.
Greg
Little. Ooh.
I don't know how that slipped all the way to the last one, but that guy fucking sucked.
So I have some stories about Greg Little. I was hoping somebody would say this. We actually ran, I used to have a company that ran pro athlete, like youth football camps. And we ran Greg Little's camp for 1 year. Nice. Like the 1 year he was like, they tried to like make him a thing. Like, I don't know if it was his rookie year or his second year.
He was the number two option to Josh Cribbs that 1 year, like 2011.
He was.
He had a solid year. I think it was his second year.
He had a shit ton of drops, hey, but he did make a couple big plays. It looked like there was potential if he could stop the drops. Super nice guy. Actually was fantastic with the kids. We did TJ Ward's camp and his camp that year. Both were really, really great with the kids. Actually, Joe Hayden's too. He was the best with the kids. So that's like the positive I'll give you. Mm-hmm. The negative is this. He moved into Joe Orovec's place with him at the Pinnacle. They lived at the Pinnacle at the time. And came home one day with like 65 pairs of Jordans, right? Like all these fucking Jordans. Spent a shit ton of money on him. Brought him in, was all excited. He busts them all out, starts showing Joe, and Joe's like, hey man, those are fake.
Damn.
Those are fake too. Those are fake too. He bought like 65 pairs of fake Jordans in one swoop and got fucking fleeced by somebody else.
No way.
So that tells you the decision making for Greg Little was not all that great.
Well, yeah, he should have been saving his fucking money. He should have been seeing how his career trajectory was going and being like, I'm going to need this money for down the road.
No one picked Josh Gordon, which a lot of people tried to say in my mentions, but I actually
agree. I don't think that's a bad jersey.
I think it's a cool jersey.
He was so good.
I mean, he was
the best wide receiver that year.
He's one of the biggest what-ifs in NFL history, mm-hmm. which instantly makes him an interesting jersey.
He had more yards than Calvin Johnson in two less games. Mm-hmm. Like, that is an incredible stat alone.
Charlie Fry was one I got a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Local guy though, and it's the fries kind of funny on the back of it. Andre Rison got a couple of those. Gary Barnage, that's not a bad jersey.
Gary Barnage was a fucking
he was nice
Pro Bowler. Yeah. He had 1,000-yard season at tight end.
I'll tell you what's a worse jersey is fucking Jordan Cam or Cameron Jordan that you put as your fucking
Jordan
top,
Cameron.
Jordan Cameron, you put as your top $5. Yeah, $5 on that fucking thing. That dude was the biggest
and
pussy.
You spelled Gary Barnage's name wrong.
Yeah.
It said like Barnage or something like that.
Gary Bondage.
How do you spell it? It's like Barnridge, right?
Barnage.
No, it's Barnage. I think Barnage. You put Barnridge.
I put Barnridge.
No reason.
Gary Bondage.
Quincy Morgan, that's a cool jersey too.
I had
he was nice.
I had Dante Whitner on my list.
You didn't get a Hitner?
Yeah.
Nah, I guess that could have been if somebody had Hitner on it. Mm-hmm. Remember when they gave away the cups at the stadium because I had season tickets that year.
You mentioned TJ Ward. TJ Ward was overrated, but wouldn't have been if it wasn't for like him
Super Bowl
coming
winner.
Along right at the point where they started protecting quarterbacks and defensive players.
But he had a very productive career. He played like another
winner.
6 years after.
He went to Denver.
He was good. I don't know if I'd call him productive. He was fair.
I met him at the Eastlake Walmart. He had a meet and greet one day. Me and my buddy went up there, and I went to shake his hand, and I went to dap him up, and he went to just, you know, shake me. And he grabbed my hand kind of like your buddy high-fived. And we just looked at each other. I was like, this is fucking weird. He's like, hell yeah, it is. And that was it. I just walked away.
I did that going up on stage tonight.
That's the worst. When you mess up a hand. Handshake, it's one of the most awkward things in the world.
I messed up almost every dap handshake combination at HQ. I'm
but that's one
almost
thing.
Almost every single one.
What do they do up there?
There's a lot of handshakes, and I was going for daps, and then I started to convert, and there was then I apparently hit the dap people at that time. It just wasn't a good day for me.
That is one thing that I can say Roger Goodell is fantastic.
Yeah, he knows when to dap.
He is so clean at dapping up the draftees.
That's a really solid skill.
It is.
Ryan practices that.
I wish I never had a band. If I could have one superpower, it'd be to not have a bad handshake with anybody.
It has to be coordinated ahead of time. Like, are you dapping or are you handshaking? Like, are you hugging?
There was this guy in college.
One superpower you have? That is a good one.
There was this guy who went to Kent with me, and he would do the, you know, like the finger point under the hand thing. I don't know if you hear them.
Like that?
Like that?
Yeah.
And me and my buddy would practice in our dorm for when we would see him so we wouldn't fuck it up. Me and my roommate would be like, all right, we're going to get him today. And then we did it. And when we did it smooth, he was like, hell yeah.
So, I got to put this right. We were at, I don't know where it was. It was a big party somewhere for, I want to say it was for an Ohio State game or something. And I was with a bunch of people who were like friends and then like friends of friends. And I have a, I get a little tuned up a little bit and see a buddy I haven't seen in a while. I will dap you up and I will give you the palm tickle, right? The palm tickle, which is always a, it's crowd favorite. It's funny, right? They're like, oh, that's weird, man. I'm not gay, whatever. So I saw a dude that I knew and I walked up and I'm like, oh, what's up, man? Dapped him up, palm tickle. He fucking gassed. He goes back and it is not a guy I know. It is completely a stranger. And he turned around and walked away. Worse than that, he was the boyfriend, I think, of one of Jenna's friends. So now, later, they introduced me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we met.
Dude, you should have been fucking winking at that guy all night. You should have been trying to send all sorts of mixed signals. Yeah. I would have leaned into it.
It's also awkward if you don't know if you're going to do the dap hug, too.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you get that weird,
like, you get, like, the little shoulder, but nobody's, like, reaching around, and you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Used to be big snapping on it. I was a big snapping guy on my dap. Snapping's died. Nobody snaps anymore.
I never snapped.
You got to snap either off of the other person's finger, otherwise it doesn't count.
I always, it was completely separate.
When I first moved to California, that's what they did. There was a separate action. But when I left here, because I was with a very an urban crew of people, you dap up and you snap off the finger, and then just shows you know how to dap.
The only people I know that snap are the urban crowd.
It was all the white guys in California. LaCharles Bentley. That's a good jersey.
That's an amazing jersey.
Great jersey.
It's like a Chris Spielman. A Chris Spielman Someone Puma said that jersey. Here
too. That's fucking awesome. That's a great jersey.
He never played it down. Chris Spielman was, he played for Massillon in high school. And they actually, Massillon got him on the Wheaties box as a high school athlete. And then he played at Ohio State, and then he played for the Detroit Lions.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was very, very good for the Lions. And then, like, when the expansion team happened, he came home. And then, like, before anything really happened, he fucked his neck up and his wife got cancer.
Yeah.
Damn.
Or his wife got cancer first and he sat out a season. I can't remember, but yeah.
Okay.
Couple more here. Wally Rayner.
I had Terrence West on my list, too.
Ooh,
forgot
yeah.
About Terrence West.
Yeah. How's he used to have like a trending thing like on Instagram back when he was on the team, hashtag T West haircut, where kids would like get that silver or that blonde streak that he had for a while, and he would comment on all of them. So me and my friends used to make fun of him.
Sean Rogers, that's a good jersey.
No, Sean Rogers is the most underrated Cleveland Brown since 1999.
That's an awesome
jersey. He was always good.
He, by the way, is the biggest. I covered Shaq. Sean Rogers is the biggest human I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sean Rogers
is a fucking mammoth.
2008 season, and I have talked about this ad nauseum, is the most underrated defensive performance of all time. He blocked like 5 field goals. Yeah, he was a 3-4 nose, and he had 64 tackles and like 5.5 sacks. It's ridiculous to play in a 3-man front at the zero technique position and to put up those kind of stats.
He was, and they remember when he came here, they were like, ah, he's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
He's a fucking monster.
Every single player on the team let everybody in Cleveland down in 2008 coming off the 2007 season, except for Sean Rogers, who played out of his fucking mind. Vince Wilfork used to go to Pro Bowls as the 3-4 nose technique in the Patriots defense with like 25 tackles and 1.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Just for clogging up the run lane.
Yeah.
This is a good one. If this guy says it's a bad jersey, I think it's a good jersey because of the American Ninja Warrior thing. Cameron Wendley.
That's the one jersey I purchased.
Really? That's
the one? It's the one jersey after his 11 sack season as a rookie.
I thought he was going to be a monster too. I thought he was going to be so good.
Danny Shelton's a terrible one. Somebody said Cam Irving. That's an all-time
bad one. I don't believe that someone owns a Cam Irving jersey.
I've seen him.
That's bullshit.
I've seen him. He was a first-round pick.
When I had season tickets, people had him.
That's fucking sick.
And also, I'm surprised nobody said Peyton Hillis. I mean,
so that was said a lot on here.
He's a Madden cover. I had a Peyton Hillis jersey.
So I'm torn on that one because, like, I think if you're just a casual fan, Peyton Hillis is actually kind of a cool jersey because he was on the cover of Madden, covering the team to watch the transition from country hardworking country boy to complete cover model douchebag in like a 6-month span. He's one of the biggest turds on the face.
Oh
of the
my earth. God. Like, White Rhino is a fantastic fucking nickname though.
Him faking his I don't know if you remember, I was on the phone breaking the news that he wasn't going to play in that game because of strep throat, walking behind him out the tunnel. And he was so mad at me the whole time as I followed him to the parking lot. Because of fucking douche. Actually, his brother was the bigger dude. His brother kind of turned him into a douche. He was just a gullible guy. But there you go.
Yeah.
How many current roster jerseys do you guys have?
Yeah. None.
I got given a Chubb jersey by my brother.
I have a Chubb jersey and I have a Miles jersey, but I was hesitant. They were gifts. And I was like, when they were asking me what I wanted, I'm like, if I get them, they're going to leave. So I don't want to get one. I have a Baker one. I mean,
I strictly have Korean bootleg Michelin Ness throwback jerseys. That's awesome. All that I have.
I had a Jim Kelly one back in the day. It was fucking sick.
I have a 76. I wanted to be kind of hipster with it. So I went 76 for Marion Motley, but it's also Lou Groza. I have a 60 Otto Graham jersey, an 86 Dante Lavelli jersey, and then a 66 Gene Hickerson jersey.
Those are great fucking jerseys.
I think the next one I want to get is Wyatt Teller, though. I want to get an offensive line jersey, and I fucking love Wyatt Teller.
Joe Thomas would be the way to go. If I ever got another jersey, it'd be a Joe Thomas. Yeah. He can't let us down.
Somebody said on there too, Alex Mack. Fuck that. That was a cool jersey too.
Alex Mack is a Pro Bowl, or he's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
He used to bang a girl that I grew up with. They were dating for a while.
When he left
and he broke up with her, she still got to drive around his Mercedes until the lease went up.
One of the first times Jen and I were ever like texting throughout the entire night, she was at a party at Alex Mack's house.
Oh, shit.
Also, don't want to know what happened.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. We're a little over an hour. Anybody got anything else? I know that was kind of all I prepared for the day.
No, yeah, that's good.
Anything
new
here?
Not much, no.
Come see me at Hilarities. I'll be now featuring for Tim Meadows for the rest of the weekend. Two tomorrow, two Saturday, and then Tom Takkar on Sunday. And then I'll be in Akron on Monday. And I rebooked. Remember when we first started the podcast, I kept talking about a gig out in Clyde, Ohio?
Yeah.
I'm going back to Clyde. They like me so much. I got booked again at a Hillbilly Winery. Clyde. Big time Clyde guy. So I will be there as well in September.
We'll need a I'm coming home graphic for all your Clyde fans. Like LeBron. Yeah.
Should make that actually. When we have the interns in here, well, that's the type of weird shit we're just going to have them make. Like,
it's going to sell out anyways. Like they say that every single show out there, cause there's nothing else to do out
that's
there.
That's true. We did a show were you on that one in Garrettsville with us the one time?
I don't think so.
It was the most raucous crowd I've ever seen. You would have thought we were rock stars coming through there.
Oh, God.
So there's nothing going on in Garrettsville.
Dude, I've done some shows, even out in Worcester, where the people are so fucking jacked that anybody's out there entertaining them that, like, we almost had to get a hotel room to stay there because of how many people were buying us drinks and offering to buy us drinks.
Yep.
Wow.
I had a picture from that Garrettsville show that there is. It's literally me standing in the back. And I don't remember who else was on that. Who was the quiet blonde-haired kid? Maybe dated Kelly Fensel or whatever it was.
Sean Sullivan.
Sean Sullivan was on there. It was Sean Sullivan. Very funny. Robbie Bourne and someone else, and all three of them were talking to a group of girls. And there's just a million people in this room. I'm like, fucking Garrettsville, bro. This place is lit.
Sick.
I got offered a fucking rim job one time, specifically a rim job.
Did you take it?
And like, no. She didn't even, like, she was very large and she didn't have any eyebrows. I don't think it was out in like Defiance, Ohio. Also,
so nobody would have found out.
That's the type of person that like would ask to give you a rim job.
Yeah.
Like that she just wanted to go straight for the rim job, nothing
else. She said, like, I like your
maybe
asshole.
Maybe that's how she lost her eyebrows.
Maybe. Just wipe it off.
Somebody else's asshole.
I wonder how many rim jobs did she get before she asked him?
That's pretty wild. So how did that conversation get to the rim job? Like, where did it start?
Right away.
She just came up to me and was like, let me lick your asshole.
She said, I would lick your asshole. That's awesome. Right,
I feel like just for the confidence, I'd be like, you know what?
You should just write.
Why not?
No, I'm good.
I won't say the name of who it is, but with a girl who is very well traveled in these parts, I have a friend who got his ass licked in the front yard of a house.
Oh, like literally in the front yard?
In the front yard of a house waiting for someone to pick them up after a party. So imagine it was in like Willowick. So you imagine like, that some neighbor was
legs up, everything. God,
what a trooper. He had to, I mean, if he was at a party, chances are it's sweaty down there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a sick pig, too. Not that she isn't. Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty,
damn.
What city was that?
Well, hello to all my family that listens to this.
Yeah. Rim jobs. All right. Clock, anything going on? Your review comes out Sunday, right?
Ball review's on Sunday. Yep. Just got it sent yesterday. So we're fixing it up and getting it going.
Nick, thank you for joining us. We have to set some traps around here and try to get fucking ready.
Yeah, get rid of me.
Oh, you're always welcome back. We love having you here. And, I know you're just basically coming part of the podcast. So,
I dig it.
You know what I kind of liked? I kind of got some pretty good reaction for the Clevoyant. I think I might have to do some more with that fucking the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done in my life.
What did Jenna say when you pitched that to her?
I said, well, first I walked away. So it started with Coors. Coors hit me up and goes, I have an idea for a video. You should put together Baker Mayfield. He goes, who's your video editor? I'm like, fucking me.
Whoever decides to come up with the video individually.
Exactly. Like me or whatever. What do you got? He's like, Baker Mayfield throwing a pick and say like week one analysis, Baker Mayfield throwing it and then, you know, Denzel Ward picking it off. I'm like, all right. So I start putting it together and I'm like, we need some kind of like intro. It would be funny with this. I'm like, oh, what if I had like a crystal ball? And Jenna's like kind of woo and has all kinds of weird hippie shit in the house anyway. So I'm like, oh, something probably looks like a crystal ball. And I'm literally sitting at the dining room table. I look over and I had, she's got that glass like orb with a candle in it. Mm-hmm. So I walk over and she's like, pick it up and walk over to like our coat closet. And she's like, what are you doing? And I come back out and I have like a shawl on.
And I'm was like, that, was that a curtain around your head?
No, I get to that.
Make me a turban, babe.
Yeah. So I was like, do you have any funny hats? And she's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I'm like, I think I'm going to be like a psychic. And she's like, Jesus Christ. She just walks upstairs. She comes down. And by this point I had put a different shawl on and I don't remember what I was putting on my head. And she had like a black, like witch's hat type deal. I don't know, whatever those girls wear. And then she goes, or I have this and it's a skirt. And I was like, that's the one right there. And she put it on. I'm like, boom, we're on to something now. Now we're cooking with grease. And I'm like, what could be the background in here? And the fucking elephants in the basement. So we got some elephants on the wall. Nice. Fucking,
perfect.
Yeah.
He said, angry man. Very angry man.
It was very dumb. But I kind of like it. I'm feeling yeah. something there. There might be something.
Dumb is fun.
Yeah, dumb is fun. I actually was thinking, like, when we do our comedy show, I might do a clairvoyant set.
Do it.
Just do crowd work with the Cleveland. Have people ask me questions. Like that would be just all drunk and with that stupid ass voice.
You have to get wasted for it,
though. Oh yeah, there's no way. I'm not gonna lie. That made me uncomfortable sober doing it. It was not. It wasn't an easy, but it took me a really long time to hit post.
And you just rewatch it. Like,
I did a couple. And then the more you watch it, the more you watch it, the less funny things become. Anyway, you know what I mean? So I was like, oh God, I fucking hate myself. Whatever. Anyway, all right. We're Clock, anything going on in the city this weekend? I was going to ask you to put something together. What's going on in the city?
Oh, yeah, we got to start.
Tonight's that. John Summit at Forward, but that's a John great Summit, fucking concert.
John Summit, I don't know, honestly. I didn't even tap in.
I didn't really see what's going on either.
I'm probably not going out this weekend, though.
Oktoberfest in Willoughby, right?
Isn't yeah, that's coming. That's right by my house, yeah.
There you go. You know what?
They're doing an Oktoberfest in fucking July?
Every year
they do it every year. Yeah, it's like this nonsense. It's like a small fair.
The yeah. month is in the name.
But here's the thing about Oktoberfest. It is maybe the best fair food out because they don't allow fair food trucks. It's all homemade at the church.
It's like all parish.
And it's, dude, it is banging food. Like legit.
I'll go to the Berea one now that I'm a Bereaite.
Nice.
That one actually is in October.
Yeah, that's the in October, like an Oktoberfest should be.
Do you guys want to judge a beer competition? I did it years ago.
I can't really drink beer.
That's right. You want to judge a Scotch competition?
Yes.
You don't have those.
With all of my heart.
All right. Yes. You know what? From now on, put together every Thursday pod, put together some things for people to do on the weekend.
Yeah, all right, let's
Clock's fucking... what
moves.
Clock's moves. Yeah, moves there you go. Clock's of the moves. There
Nightlife.
You go.
Nightlife. I'll give my recommendations to just stay home and be an adult. Or come to my comedy shows. One of the two.
All right. All right, here's it.